All right, last time we did part one of spiritual warfare. And as we said, this time we were going to look at part two, the particular weapons that the Lord has given us. And this is in the second half of the passage that we had started in Ephesians 6. I'm just going to read that through, and then we'll get into it. And we pick it up in verse 14, where he's going to give us the weapons of our warfare. Ephesians 6, starting in 14. He says, "Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." So we set this up last time as the principalities and powers versus the believer. And we can summarize all of what we talked about last time as the Christian versus miserable liars of humiliated loser demons. This is actually a really excellent title. That is our enemy. Their weapon is lies. And we need to know who they are and what God has revealed. So if we just look back at Ephesians 3, 10 to 11. God wants to bring the light of the mystery of the gospel to the world. He goes that so that through the church, now through us, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. So we are to manifest God's wisdom to the principalities and powers, which is odd. And who are they? Colossians 2:15. He canceled the record of debt that was against us. He set it aside, nailing to the cross. And then it says, "He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him." They are defeated, they are disarmed, they are humiliated, and they are liars. They are miserable liars and humiliated loser demons. That's who they are. That is actually an accurate way to look at it. So now that Christ has defeated and disarmed the ruling principalities and powers, we have been given the job to display the wisdom of God to those cosmic powers. That's what it says. We battle against them, not against flesh and blood. So we continue in triumph over them. We are more than conquerors. We are those who reign with Christ. And by our lives, we continue to put them to open shame. The bride of Christ, that's us, is currently on display. And she adorns herself with good deeds. And in those good deeds, the wisdom of God is made manifest. She is beautiful through her good deeds. Book of Revelation says the good deeds are given to the saints to adorn herself with for her king. So then by our lives, we declare to the world and to the powers that be who God is. Was God truly wise when he sent Jesus to die on the cross? We will let them know by our lives, the manifest wisdom of God. Was God wise when he made marriage? Was he wise when he called the woman to submit to her husband? Was that wise? We are to manifest the wisdom. Because you can bet the principalities and powers are going to lie to you about how good that was. Was God wise when he made you a woman? We are to show that it is wise. So we battle then by the weapons of God, and we live holy lives as men and women, families, and the church out in the world. And that righteous living continues to humiliate the demons as they are shown to be foolish and defeated. They have no power anymore. And though they lie and say the way of God is foolish, by our lives we are declaring them to be foolish. Their ways are useless. Their thoughts and tactics have failed. So we battle them. They still tempt us to follow their ways, to deny God's wisdom. And then every time we give in to sin, we are saying that they are right. That their ways are good and that God's ways are wrong, right? So if I'm tempted then to discontentment, for example, and I give in to that, in that moment I'm saying that my discontentment, my desire for something else is better than God's plan for me, who tells me not to do that. And I'm agreeing with the lie. And I'm saying those guys are right and God is wrong in this situation. When we give in to sin, we're agreeing with, we're aligning ourselves with the principalities and powers. We're saying that they have a better idea. And spiritual warfare has its essence right there, right in that battle. And it's been that way since the beginning. Whose way is best? Whose way is wise? The serpent deceived Eve into thinking that his way was wise, that God did not have her best interests at heart. And she believed it, that God was hiding something. He was withholding something from her. And so she sided with the serpent. And Adam fell alongside. And that battle has been raging ever since. Now for us, Christ has won the decisive victory over sin and death on the cross. Those powers have been shown to be weak, full of lies, and they have been defeated. So by the power of the Spirit, we wage war over those lies as we walk in righteousness, pursuing and loving the things that God has called us to pursue and love, both as men and as women. And we show that God is indeed wise. His ways are good, they're best, and through our joyful obedience, we strike at the heart of the lies of the devil. Perseverance and joy in our obedience to God's call as men and women is a dagger to the heart of the principalities and powers. He will tell you it's terrible the way God has made women. It's bad. You shouldn't do that. You should pursue something else. And we are to affirm the truth by rejecting those lies. And this is the fight that we're called to embrace the truth of God day by day, walking in the light. We overcome, and God has told us how to do it. He has given us our weapons. So we turn to look at the weapons that God has given us. We have been given seven. The devil's got exactly one. He's a liar. That is what he will do all the time. He will lie to you. But us, we have been given this list here. So the first one, in order to put the devil to shame, we are to put on the truth. We are to put on the truth. The scriptures talk of putting off lies and putting on the truth, described here as the belt of truth. We're called to put it on. So are you ever tempted to be discontent or to be afraid to pursue something other than what God has called you to? That's a strong temptation. It can be a powerful draw. And there's a lie in that, that there's a good idea here, that the world's definition of beauty or of success is right. And God's definition is mistaken, and we can be tempted to believe that. That's a very powerful draw. It can be a very powerful lie. And sometimes we will put on that lie. But what's the truth? The truth is that man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. The truth is that man's life does not consist of what he owns. That's the truth. And we are called to put that on. That is a weapon against the lies when Satan would tempt you to how you feel about yourself or your station in life, what you have and what you don't have. The belt of truth is a mighty weapon. Or if you have been falling into sin in these areas, do you put on a belt of lies thinking that you can handle it on your own? That no one needs to know? It's not a big deal. But what's the truth? The truth is that whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Proverbs 28:13. Or how about this? Women are to be lovers of their husbands and children, or to be busy in the home. That is a truth that God has revealed. Do you believe that? Do you put that on? Do you love the ways of the Lord? And do you show the principalities and powers, the wisdom of God, in your joy in walking in what God has given you? So we want to be actively putting on the truth in real, tangible ways. It's the first weapon listed in our fight against the lies. Second one is the breastplate of righteousness. Breastplate of righteousness. Here we can look at two kinds of righteousness that we should be putting on. The first is the righteousness of Christ, faith in him. All of our own righteousness is like filthy rags. They don't help us at all in gaining favor with God. They don't help us at all in dealing with the lies of the devil. Our righteousness does us no good. And it can be a trap to us to think that so long as I do some good things and not a whole lot of bad, that God will be pleased with me. And we got to put that off. Put on the truth. The fact is, I am a miserable sinner. There's nothing good in me. I'm not the hero here. It's through Christ alone that I can stand free, at peace with God, accepted and adopted. When we are miserable, when we are lacking in joy, when we're bored with worship, lazy in prayer, when we sing without heart, amazing love, how can it be that, oh my God, right? When we do that, we are declaring publicly and openly to the powers that be that God's ways are tedious. Oh, right? What a burden to sing. It's precept upon precept, line upon line, a little here, a little there, a whole lot of whatever. So what are you declaring the wisdom of God to be in your spiritual warfare? Do you see being busy at home as a great blessing, a great joy, a great accomplishment? Or is it tedious? What do you proclaim when you sing? The ways of God in the gospel, or by the way you sing, do you affirm the lies of the devil? Is it amazing love? Or is it amazing love? How can it be with passion, with power, with truth, with love, you declare the truth? The devil's going to say to you, it's no good. He's going to lie. He's going to tell you, you're missing out. God doesn't really have anything good for you. He's holding out on you. Just like he did to Eve in the garden. You should desire something else. And the question is, will you side with that miserable liar of a humiliated loser demon who is whispering those thoughts in your ears and in your heart? Now, this, of course, leads to the second form of righteousness that we need to put on, and that is our good deeds done in love. By the power of the Spirit, we are to walk in obedience to what God has told us to do. Not gaining favor, but keeping in step with the Spirit, being faithful in our work, rejoicing in the good deeds that God gives us every day, learning to think God's thoughts after him. And we are to put on this righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, and walk in love and obedience, proclaiming by our thoughts and our actions that God's wisdom is right. It's worth making every effort for. We have truth, we have righteousness. Third one, I'm going to use the word vigilance. Vigilance. In our spiritual warfare against the principalities and powers, we have the shoes of the readiness that the gospel gives. This weapon is something that the truth of the gospel is going to give you. The more you understand the gospel, the more you're going to have that weapon to use. It comes from the gospel. The shoes of the readiness that the gospel gives. This is the heart of courage that comes with the gospel. We know that through the gospel, we face a defeated enemy, a humiliated enemy, a disarmed enemy, and we don't even face that enemy on our own strength. But by the power of the Spirit, we are more than conquerors. How's the battle looking now, if that's what's happening here? Suddenly I'm ready. We have died to sin. We've been raised to new life with new hearts. We have the full height and depth of God's love for us, his promised grace to sustain us, our King to go before us. We have all of that and so much more. And the gospel produces a deep joy and a deep courage. And then when the battle comes, there's no hesitation. Why? Because you're ready. You're ready. You know who you are in Christ. You know his power. You know his victory. You know the lies and the defeat of your enemy. You have all of that and the Spirit in you. Therefore, there's no valley you can't go into. There's no front line to fear. There's no giant too tall. There's no enemy too fierce. The gospel of Christ secures your soul, your salvation. And that's the power in which we fight. And you can go after your children. You can love your husband. You can be faithful in prayer for those who you care about. Out in the world, wherever you happen to be, you can be a faithful daughter. You can share the gospel and you can do it with confidence. Confidence that the gospel produces. You can't change anybody's heart. But you are the daughter of the King.
And that's what he exactly promised to do. And you can go with confidence. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to believe the lies. With utter courage. This humiliates the lies of the devil who have been tripping up people for generations and generations and generations. And here's little old us, right? I'm just dust. I'm no champion. And we can just laugh at the face of the devil when he comes with all his great big lies and his threats and all of that. And he's humiliated as little old us. This is my station. God is good. And I'll be faithful here. And again, they are shown their defeat. We have been given victory. Now we want to live in it. God's love for you is complete, without question. His promises are sure and without question. His purposes for you are good and without question. His power is perfect and without challenge. Spiritual warfare, in terms of the readiness that the gospel produces, shames the so-called great powers of the cosmos, as women of God laugh at them and praise God wherever they are be, in their homes, in their kitchens, joyful and beautiful, that verse from Song of Solomon, shining down like the dawn, beautiful as the moon, bright as the sun, as awesome as an army with banners. That is how the woman of God is described. And the devil trembles before that power. As awesome as an army with banners. This is the faithful daughter of the king engaging in spiritual warfare. And it feels like foolishness, but it is the wisdom of God. And we proclaim it in our courage and our readiness to engage on all fronts. So for those of you who are busy at home day after day, climbing the north face of Laundry Mountain with joy is spiritual warfare. That's what it is. The devil will tell you it's tedious, it's meaningless, it's repetitious. I would rather do something better or more important. That is a lie, flat out, 100%. This is spiritual warfare. If this is your task before you, then embracing it with joy and thanksgiving declares once again that miserable loss as you declare the truth of the gospel and of who you are and what God has called you to be. Victory is found there. When you are anchored in the gospel, you're ready. You're vigilant. When the temptation comes, you can see it. That's a lie. Flat out lie. I reject it outright. Fourth one. The shield of faith. The shield of faith. The Bible tells us that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So now I respond to things that I can see. That bothers me, a surprise bill in the mail. I respond to that. Broken car. I respond to that. Absolutely. I respond to the things that I can see or things that I can feel. If I have fear or pride or anger, I respond to that. And we are called to put those things off and put on faith. Your great strength as a woman of God comes from seeing things that can't be seen. That's where your strength is going to come from. You don't navigate your life or measure your success by what you can see or by what you have or don't have. We have a conviction of the goodness and power of the promises of God. No matter what things look like on the outside, it makes no difference. Now, this conviction, this assurance is so special because there's nothing that can happen to you. There's nothing that can be done in your life that can take that away. It can't be touched. The only thing that attacks it is lies. And there's power in this faith. It is anchored in the truth and is of a nature that no man and no demon can take it away. It's a conviction of the heart, and the darker the night, the brighter it shines. It can't be touched. The more Satan attacks, the more confidence, because in the arena of battle, your hope is unwavering. You know that your hope will not fail, because you have faith. It's powerful as the flaming darts will come at you, those lies, those threats. The heat of the fire, the point of the arrow, they all come to their end against this shield. Nothing can get through. This manifold wisdom of God shows the enemy they are utterly defeated. And whatever they do to you will not avail. They may shout, "Where is your God now?" Whether you are heartbroken or miserable or lonely or overwhelmed, whatever it is, the burden and the lies come. Principalities say, "Where is your God now?" the more you're able to laugh, because faith is the conviction of things not seen. I may not be able to see him, but I'm not supposed to see him. I'm supposed to believe him. Your taunts mean nothing to me. Where is my God now? I don't know what he's doing all the time. I'm not called to know that. I'm called to believe him. And in that, the fiery darts just fall. And they are defeated again and again. So pick up your faith, and your victory will not be threatened. And you can rejoice over those, we who are more than conquerors.
5. Salvation. The helmet of salvation.
This is the good news of the gospel. In the death and resurrection of our Lord, we have forgiveness of all of our sins. We have complete acceptance with God. We are at peace, co-heirs with Christ. And when Satan tells you to run and hide, when he tells you you're not good enough, when he tells you that you've failed, that your sins are too much, that you can't do it, that God hates you already, it's hopeless, you've lost, whatever, you proclaim the grace of God in Christ Jesus, the height and depth of his love in the gospel. And you declare it by your freedom from guilt in the blood of Christ. Satan comes to say you're guilty. You say, liar. I'm not guilty. I'm not guilty. I have the righteousness of Christ on me. You're a liar. And you overcome by embracing that faith. In that moment, as you believe it, this is your weapons. That's how you overcome. Learn to recognize the lies. You don't argue against the lies of the devil on your own merit. Of course I'm awful. Of course I'm a sinner. Yeah, but that's not why I stand. That's not why I have courage. It's on the merit of Christ that you stand. And Jesus himself has declared you innocent and accepted. And if he has declared innocence, who dares now to claim guilty? Learn to recognize the lies. They say that you're not good enough. And you're guilty, guilty, guilty. You should be ashamed. And we learn to say lies. Liar, liar, liar. Will not accept that. I have been saved. The Lord of heaven and earth has put his love on me. And it's now in Christ that you stand. And for the devil to overcome you, he's not going to have to defeat you. He's going to have to face the living one who was dead and now holds the very keys that are going to condemn Satan to hell. So we take up the helmet of salvation. We find strength, the joy of the Lord. No weapon fashioned against us will prosper. And we don't have to find a way. Jesus already has. And he's going to take you all the way home. The fallen powers of darkness have but one thing left for them to do, and that is to die. They are condemned. In this life, we struggle. We stumble around. We are weak. We're sometimes confused. But our salvation is secure. It's bought and paid for. It comes from an eternal covenant within the Trinity to save you. Before anything was created, as a believer, God had your name written down in the book of life. Before anything was created. The Father chose you from eternity past. He goes to the Son and he says, I have chosen you. I've chosen this one. But her sins are too great. She can never come into my presence. But I've chosen her. She's mine. She can't pay for her sins. Will you do it? And Jesus says, yes, I will pay for her sins. Write your name in. I will pay for hers. And Jesus goes and he does it. He made a promise to his Father. I will pay for the one whom you have chosen. And then he comes back to the Father and says, it is finished. Her sins are paid for. All of them. There's nothing left. There never will be. It's all paid for. And then the Father turns to the Spirit and says, this is one whom I love. I have chosen her. I have redeemed her. I have paid for her. She's mine. Will you go and get her and bring her home? And the Spirit says, yes, I will go and get her. And then he does. That's the covenant of the Trinity for your salvation, for Satan to overcome. He's going to have to take the salvation, not from you, but he's going to have to take it out of the hands of God, which he cannot do. He does not have that power. He will lie and try to cause you to fear. But we have the helmet of salvation. Say, liar, liar, my name was written in the book of life from before the foundation of the world. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And because that is true, no one can take it away from him. And now we live in this glorious reality. And the powers that be are paraded again in their defeat for all to see. Spiritual warfare is just this. In Christ, we are more than conquerors. The lies are going to come fast and furious throughout all your days and in many different kinds of ways. And we start to put on
the weapons that we have been given, and we find an answer for every one of those lies. There's not one that can get through when we are engaging in spiritual warfare as we have been called to. We often get the whole thing confused. But this is what the Bible says spiritual warfare is. Number six is the Word of God.
The sword of the Spirit. The Word is our authority, our guide in all things. By it we discern the will of God and we renew and transform our minds. We learn how to think differently so that we can recognize the lies and reject them, put them off. And so we can face these cosmic powers. We can face the challenges of the world, the flesh, and the devil. They lie, they cheat, they steal. We know that. They seek to bring chaos in your soul. They want to chain your spirit and your mind, leading you to an unfruitful life. But this Word cuts through it all. It cuts through the lies with its glorious truth. It cuts through to joint and marrow, even to soul and spirit. It exposes your thoughts and your inner secret motives. And by this Word, we can see the light. And we can see the will and the ways of God. And we have confidence that God will fulfill His Word in every way. Every promise will come true. I don't have to understand all of it. I don't have to have it all figured out. I'm not God. But I know Him, and He knows me. All the way home, the Word says, He will take me. I'm safe there. The lies should not overthrow us when we are walking in with the weapons that we have been given. By this Word, our paths are made straight. We're able to discern what God wants, how to think His thoughts, how to keep in step with the Spirit, how to please Him, be holy as He is holy. And it is our power to tear down those arguments, man-made ideas, worldly wisdom, demolish strongholds. The Word of God gives us the confidence of one who has all the answers, because the Word is sufficient. There's nothing lacking. It's there. So do not let that Word out of sight or out of mind. It's your great weapon of spiritual warfare. How hard it is to discern the lies when you're just entangled in them. And you've been overthrown by them so many times. And your heart hurts. And the lie comes again. I don't know my way out. The Word is your weapon. Let it be your meditation day and night. Strive for understanding. Many Christians fall into sin because that book remains closed.
Last one. Prayer.
The last weapon of spiritual warfare is prayer. The Bible says we can do nothing without Christ. You believe that? Does your prayer life reflect that reality? That everything by prayer. Pray at all times. Pray without ceasing. Ask, seek, knock, petition. Pray in your closet. Pray together. Prayer at the prayer meeting. All things by prayer. This is quite possibly the most neglected of the weapons. The powers that be hate prayer, and there's a constant attack you in this area. There's always a reason not to pray, right? Boy, that's easy. I can have a dozen reasons not to pray without even trying. Always a reason to let it slide. And yet the Bible says all things by prayer. By our neglect, many grow weak. And there are deep mysteries in prayer, but we know through the Word that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. We know that God answers prayer. We know that Christ prayed on earth. If He did, how much more we? He intercedes even now. He's still praying. We know that the Spirit prays on our behalf, and He helps us to pray, and that prayer is necessary for the Christian. We turn to God in our spiritual battles, for He is sovereign and He is in control. We so need to pray. Job is a great example of this. You think of Job. He was under severe spiritual attack, wasn't he? His body and health was ruined. It was the death of his family, the rejection by his wife, false friends, enemies, storms, ruin on every front, and all of it directly from the devil. We are able to see behind the scenes. All of that was directly the devil's doing. And not once does Job speak to the devil. He doesn't confront him. He doesn't seek a name. Doesn't seek a station. He doesn't seek any of that. Never once does he speak to the devil. He turns his full attention to God to plead his case before him, because he knows God is sovereign over the devil. That whatever has happened here, God is sovereign, and He is the one I plead my case to. That's our call. Prayer is a mighty weapon. So this is the lineup. The
Christian versus the miserable liars of humiliated loser demons. They will lie to you. And these are the weapons that we have been given.
Spiritual warfare is not weird or mysterious. It's quite plain. And so, sisters, you have been called to spiritual warfare. And these weapons show us how it's done. Truth, righteousness, vigilance, faith, the gospel, the word of God, and prayer. That's how we do it. That is pleasing to the Lord. That is glorifying to him. And that continues the overthrow of this present darkness in the evil age. The Bible says we don't have to be afraid. It says that God laughs at his enemies and their puny attempts. He knows their end. And in his laughter, he is showing us how it's done. This is how it's done. We are not to be afraid. And as we come to know the truth, as we come to fight the way he intends, we learn to laugh along with him. Liar. I will not fall for that, for I know my God, and I know my salvation. God is showing us how it's done, and he intends for us to be joyful in our battle. Through the victory of Christ, we're free. We're more than conquerors. We reign with him, and we are well equipped. We face a defeated enemy. So let us not lose the sight of the path that God has given us. It comes down to this. You could put it this way. These are the days of your confession, the years of your life. These are the years of your confession. You're here for this purpose, and you will confess something to all of heaven and hell. What will it be? In the times of trial, the powers that be all draw near to see, to hear what wisdom you confess, what wisdom you make manifest, whose name you bless. And God has given you this moment, your life, these years. He has given that to you. And so when the trials come, heaven and hell draw near. And you're on the stage. What will you say? What is your confession? Is it the goodness of God? The wisdom of God? For you, is it the wonder of womanhood? What do you confess to be true with your lips, with your hands? They are watching. Do you confess the lies of the world, the flesh, and the devil? What do you proclaim to be good? And the call of spiritual warfare is just this, to overcome trials and tribulations with the weapons of God, and by that we proclaim the surpassing wisdom of God. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, and then you will bear the fruits of your repentance. As you bear the fruits of your repentance, you will be known. You will be known by God. You will be known by his angels. You will be known by the devil and his minions and by the world. Your life is the time of your confession. This is yours, and God has given you the stage. Everyone's listening. What will your confession be? Is God good in the creation of woman? Is God good in naming her helper? Is he good in naming her the glory of man? Is he good in naming her the daughter of the king? Is he good in naming her forgiven? Is he good in naming her loved? What will you say? What will your confession be? Because the lies of the devil are going to deny all of that. It's not good. It's not good. It's all bad. What will you confess? These are your years. This is your battle. 2 Corinthians 10:3-6. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. Right? The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete.